You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
So you can grab your Bible or your devices that you will utilize to take notes and or to find scripture. We're going to start in the book of Matthew chapter 16. The book of Matthew chapter 16. I was watching Pastor Joseph on last week being down here on off the platform, and it was kind of cool that he was able to just walk up on people and just touch them. And so I'm a touchy-feely person too. And so oh, look at this head. Look at this head right here. Oh. I want to be with you guys, and I'm asking the Lord to give us more of a time of teaching. Because we need some things to be able to work with throughout the course of our week. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
All right, are you in Matthew?
Yes.
Matthew 16. Can we bring that up on screen, please, as we're beginning this? The scripture says this, starting in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elisha, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. And does anybody in here, who knows how to swim? Raise your hand if you know how to swim. All right. Okay, we got a handful of people. How many of you do not know how to swim? Raise your hand if you do not know how to swim. God help them. Help them. How many of you, those of you who know how to swim, and even for those of you who do not know how to swim, do you understand that if you are in water that's deeper than the height that you are, and you do not know how to swim, there might be a problem. Can we all agree that as far as water is concerned, if it is above the height that you are and you do not know how to swim, that there might be a problem? Did somebody say it is a problem? How many of you know, those of us who know how to swim and those of us who do not know how to swim, how many of you know that you can't breathe in water? Does anybody not believe that you can't breathe in water? Don't be funny. Without apparatus or what have you, you and I, we understand that God has not blessed us with gills, so we are not able to extract the oxygen out of the water in order to oxygenate our blood. Yes, I'm going there. In order to live beneath the surface. So there's something that we're going to have to do in order to survive in water. What is that? Learn to swim. Somebody, y'all going real deep. Here's what you need to do. Make sure that your head stays above the surface of the water. Amen. Some people say learn to swim, but when it comes right down to it, because we know that there is something that we cannot do within ourselves, there comes this aha moment. It's the name of my message today. The aha moment. The recognizing that I've come to a place of limitation in my life, and there's a change that has to happen. There's something that must happen different than what I'm doing, or else I might have some problems. And how God deals with us insofar as our relationship with him, As a teacher, as a preacher of the word, and Pastor Fred and Miss Tracy and Miss Donna and many of those who teach the word in here, but many of us, to a certain degree, we've been groomed to believe this as if I continue to share with you scripture and share with you the word and share with you experience and teach you that you will grasp a hold of the word of God, and then therefore you would do it because you know to the best of your ability in my relationship with you. What's up, Henry? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to stand here to tell you untruths about what God says in his word. So I teach and I teach and I teach, expecting that there would be change, because faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by. The many of you who are saying that I believe that in all my heart that you have heard the word of God and heard the word of God and heard the word of God, and therefore you have built up your faith. But I dare say this, that all of us, the reason why our faith was built up is because we got to a place in our walk and our life with God where just our natural ability to get through whatever situation or circumstance presented itself, we needed to do something different. We needed a change. The circumstance caused us not to be able to live in the same way that we would normally live in normal circumstance. Are y'all with me? I dare say this to you, that most of the time, for most of us, that God gave us an aha moment. The light bulb that said, you're going to have to do a little bit different than what you've been doing. What you're doing in your walk and your relationship with me, it's not enough now. Your walk and your relationship with your wife or your husband, what you've been doing and how you've been getting over and how you've been getting by and how you've been comfortable, it's not enough now. And you know that based upon the word that you've heard, the word that you've been exposed to, but the problem is many of us don't, you're not going to change by way of the teaching alone. Teaching is good. Somebody say, teaching is good. But more teaching isn't the answer. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I can't convince the unconvinced. I can't persuade the unpersuaded. You can hear the word, you can hear the word, and you can hear the word. And as we pray, the idea is not just to be a hearer, but a doer. And many of us who would venture to say, okay, God, Lord, I will do what your word says, therein lies the moment and opportunity when he graces us with those, this is real. See, because once you get that aha, once you come to the realization that this is real, you don't want to go back to the way that you were before. Man, I wish I was shouting more than I'm talking. When you get to that place where God has actually shown you that his word is real, you don't want to go back to anything less than what he has shown you and given you an experience. Many of us, and why are we struggling with the word, is because we are hearing and we're hearing. And not just that we're not doing, but we're not experiencing. Aha. Most of us are experiencing, uh-oh. Or, ah. Or, ooh. Oh, man. And God wants us to grow up, not to experience all of those other things in expression, but aha. There's a settling with aha. There's a beauty in when you get it and you got it, nobody, no devil, no nothing can take that away from you. And many of us struggle because we've not experienced the aha. We haven't experienced it. Haven't experienced it. And our challenge many times is because we haven't experienced it. Some people who have experienced it, we get frustrated with those of you who haven't experienced it, and we think that it's about, well, you need to pray more, you need to read more, and you need to. No, what we need to pray is that people would have an experience with God. Y'all see how this works now, how I'm working up and down now? This is great. Our prayer should be that people would come into an experience with God. Peter, in this conversation that he's having, Jesus, now you have to read the text. Jesus asked this question to all of his disciples. But Peter is the only one, not that he just answered, but that it was something that happened in that moment. In that moment of conversation, they're in this place where Jesus is walking with his disciples, and in the territory where they walk, this was an area where the pagan people would worship their pagan gods. And in the midst of this, Jesus is asking his disciples about what people are saying and talking about him. Who do men say that I am? In the midst of their debauchery, in the midst of their way of living and their way of doing, who do men say that I am? And Peter immediately answers, after their answers about what people think about him, was that you are the Christ. He didn't say you were Jesus. He didn't identify him by the name that everybody recognized him by. He identified him in the power that he exemplified in his life. He said, you are the Christ, a.k.a. you are the anointed one. You have this ability to do what no one else can do because you are of God. You are the Son of the living God. Now, Peter wasn't being religious. He had an aha moment. Scripture says that Jesus then answered him and said, now this is Pastor Rich's version, bruh, whoa, for real. Hey, dude, nobody shared that with you. No earthly person shared that with you. Dude, you had your aha because God revealed it to you. I don't know what the dynamics of Jesus is, or level of excitement, but he then begins to explain that in that aha moment that Peter has, then he begins to explain the dynamics of the power of his church. That through the revelation, and this is what the word revelation means in the context of the scripture. It means that there was an uncovering. There was an uncovering. There was a revealing. There was something that was there that nobody could see initially, but God revealed it. And when God reveals something, change happens. Did y'all catch that? I didn't say when the word goes forth alone. I didn't say when we start feeling all hot and bothered by what we may do in service. I'm not knocking that, but it's not. But when God reveals who he is and what his intentions are, change must happen. Brother Shannon shared with us the aspect of the word. The word is important, guys, because it builds our faith. But there's more to the building of our faith that God wants us to know. He wants us to experience how he's revealing to us how our faith works. And so what I want to share with y'all real quick, just a couple of aha moments of people that you're very familiar with. And then we're going to move forward because I have something I need to do. We have to stop. Listen, we got to stop trying to seek self-help and start seeking God's help. And him revealing himself in his word that we already know. See, you're accountable for the word that you know, but that accountability comes by, have you experienced the revelation that God showed you? This is really real. Hello? This is why we have to be very careful, because we know John 3:16. A lot of people know that, but guess what? It's not been revealed and uncovered to a lot of people. A lot of people know John 3:16 in the church. But it has not been revealed to those that even confess it. That's why many of us can say, well, yeah, I came to the altar and I said it and I understand it. And I do understand the process of salvation. I understand what Jesus did for me. But you're not living in the revelation. There's no change. So it's easy for you and I to compromise then other things that we're doing in the world. Why? Because while I've heard the word and while I've said into the word and while the teacher, the preacher, the minister, the people that God has sent across my life, while all of that stuff has been good, nothing's been revealed to me. It remains uncovered. Now, I'm not here today and this morning to tell you this is how you uncover the word. I'm just going to give you some examples, because the examples that God gives us, it helps us to understand maybe there have been many times where God was trying to reveal himself and you missed it. And I missed it. And let me be honest with you, not being perfect, we're going to miss God sometimes. Yes. Hello? Not being perfect, not still working out our salvation with fear and trembling, we're going to miss sometimes what God is trying to show us himself. Let me backtrack for a minute. God is not trying to show you what his word means. He's trying to show you that he is his word. Because if you know him, you'll know his word. When you know him and the revelation of who he is, you will not want to go back to what was. It's not enough. It'll not be enough for you. Okay, so let me just, can I do this? Are y'all ready? One of the ministry keys that Jesus himself in the revelation of him being the anointed one, he says this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. One of the elements of why he's come, he says, to restore sight to the blind. Now, we don't like to hear this in church. We don't like to think of ourselves as this, but many of us are blind. But we're in darkness in regards to our relationship with God. It's not to say we don't have a relationship. It's not to say that you're in your confession that there is a unity that's there. But we still walk around in darkness. Why? Because we have gotten to a point in church where we're not even hearing the word anymore. So we don't even give the Spirit of God something to work with so that God can reveal himself to us, because we're only going to get revelation of who he is by his word. He is his word. Are y'all with me? Are y'all okay? He is his word. So any revelation that comes, any understanding of the knowledge of the truth of who he is going to first come by me feeding myself what he has already established in his word. God has given you and I natural understanding. And he has allowed us through the centuries of time to get the word of God translated in English and various forms of English, so that you and I, because he knows that we have a problem listening. We shared this with the young people a couple of weeks ago. If I just tell you something, if I start a conversation, I give you just one long sentence here, by the time it gets to the sister in the back, it's going to be a totally different translation. In fact, it'll be a whole nother book. Y'all played that game. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So the issue is God knowing us and knowing that we have a problem hearing sometimes, put it in writing. And it makes sense, because everything that God does with us is about covenant, aka contract agreement. I put in writing what it is that you need to know and understand, not just of what I do, but who I am. And I also put in the contract, so that you're not confused about how this relationship works, I put in there who you are. What I want you to do with your natural understanding is begin to take responsibility and begin to read about me, read about you. And as you are in pursuit of living this thing, I begin to reveal to you the truth of that word in your life. How do you do it? Well, let's start with the first example. Y'all are familiar with Moses. If you're not familiar, well, let me give you a short synopsis of at least the first part of his life. Moses was selected by God to deliver the children of Israel out of the bondage to Egypt. They were in bondage for a good 400 plus years. And so through 400 years of slavery and bondage for the Israelites, they had completely forgotten who God was. And God now, in this process of time, had made a decision to raise up Moses. Now, Moses was given and gifted and grace to live within Pharaoh's house, raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And he got to a place where while he recognized that he was Hebrew, that he had been given knowledge and understanding of how this culture worked and a relationship with Pharaoh to the extent where he could later on be able to walk into Pharaoh's court and say what he needed to say, have Pharaoh not listen to him, leave the court and watch God beat up on Pharaoh and just say, dude, I've been telling you. Read it. Book of Exodus. But before he got to that point of standing before Pharaoh to declare God saying, let my people go, He murdered somebody. And after he had murdered this Egyptian, he ran into the wilderness. And for some 40 years, he remained hidden. Now listen to me. Totally a knowledge of what was needed, but totally lacking revelation. So what does God do? He's out, he's hiding, doing his thing, he's comfortable where he's at, and God shows up. My first point, God will find you. Right where you are. Listen to me. Whether you're living right or not, this thing that we're doing is not religion. It's relationship. Our Creator has created everybody. And it is His desire that no man be lost. So say this with me. God will find me. God will find them. He doesn't need my help. God didn't send a messenger out to the desert to find where Moses was. He found Moses himself. Now watch how God does. God ignites a bush. We know, just people are saying right now, give it to get his attention. No. He ignited the bush because God wanted to create a situation and a circumstance that Moses could not explain. How many of you have had an experience where things just started happening that you just could not explain? Why is this happening? I don't want to be facetious, because some of those experiences, they were kind of positive experiences, and some of those experiences were negative experiences. But you're doing great at your job. Everything is rolling, everything. And then all of a sudden, somebody buys the company, and now they're talking about, we wiping out 200 jobs, and you just got hired. And you know how we do. Now we start praying. Oh, now you want to pray. I'm playing. I pray too. But you start praying, and guess what? You lose the job. Now the problem is not that you just lost the job, but you were producing better than your manager or supervisor. That those people that were in charge were actually coming to you and asking you and patting you on the back and saying, you are a great worker. I'm going to make sure that I give a good word for you. And so you're amped off of what God is doing. Come on, y'all. Is this just me? And then you lose the job. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Moses experiences this bush that's burning, and it doesn't make sense to the norm that he's used to. If fire's on a bush, bush has got to burn. But he experiences something that draws him near. Y'all need to hear what I'm saying to y'all. Because many of the experiences that we have, we think it's just the devil, and the devil is doing this, and the devil, and all the while, it's just God allowing things to happen or doing things, not so that we would run away, but that we would start to inquire of him. Lord, what is this? It's like the English and how I interpreted what Moses said. What doth this burning bush that I seeth there yonder? Let me approach it closer that I may see why, although it doth burn, it doth not be consumed. Wow. Y'all done. That was hard, y'all. Give me. Yep. So he draws near, and as he draws near, God speaks. I dare say God reveals himself. For 400 some odd years, no one in the land has heard, experienced God. And Moses has an experience with him. Being a murderer, hiding out, trying to just kind of maintain, and I'm good right here. God says, you can't stay there. You can't stay there. You can't stay hiding. You can't stay this situation that you can't explain. You backed up and you said, well, I don't know what God is doing, but I'm just going to go back and kind of do my own thing right now. I'm comfortable with that. And God is saying to you, I allowed the experience so that you would draw near to me to find out, what is this about? Amen. What did I say the first point was? God will... God will find you. Now, the question you and I, we have to ask ourselves is, God will find me. What is he looking for? If God is trying to find me in the midst of where I am, in the situation or circumstance that I can't explain, has just happened, what is he looking for me for? God, why are you looking for me? Not God, why did this happen? It's happened. I can't explain it. Well, why are you looking for me? Y'all help me and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Moses' response after hearing the voice of God was this dynamic of, who are you, Lord? So in a new way, for those of us who have relationship with God, as we transition into this uncontrollable situation that we don't have an answer for, and God is giving us an aha moment to for him to reveal himself, to uncover himself. What is he trying to do? He's trying to show us another facet of who he is. Because you got used to him being just provider. And you got used to him being deliverer. And you got used to him being wisdom. You got used to him being benefactor. God is saying, but you need to learn that I'm also your peace. So I lost the job so that you can show me how to be peace? Maybe. I can't tell you, because God wants to reveal to you exactly who he is in the midst of that situation, so that as you're experiencing it, light bulb goes off. Boop. Oh, that's God. That's God who? My peace. That's God. My strength. Why are you saying this? Because I read it? No. Man, I've read it 100 times, but didn't realize it until situation and circumstance happened to where he tried to get my attention. And instead of drawing back now, I drew near. I became more diligent in trying to find out who God is in the midst of this that's going on now in my life. What's going on? Who are you, Lord, in this? God will find you because he has a purpose to reveal to you more of who he is beyond what you have now of him. More than just what you've experienced in times past. Because as brother said earlier, we can't live in the past. We can't live in yesterday. All we have is today. And our actions and the things that we've done in times past, there's a lot of cleaning up that has to happen. But you know what? God is a miracle worker. And in one day, if you would allow that aha moment to happen, if you would allow it to happen, it's happening. But many of us, we miss the aha moments because we're caught up in our feelings. I'm unhappy. I'm not happy with what's going on. Or I created something and I got to fix it, God. I got to fix it, God. And God will step back and respect the fact that you decided that you're going to fix it, knowing you can't fix it. And he pushes and he presses for you to get to a place where you go, aha, instead of, ah. And you come to the house of God and you're experiencing that, ah. And God is saying, I'm trying to get you past the, ah, to the, aha. I'm going to press right now. You don't care about what the worship sounds like. I'm going to make my own noise right now. I'm not concerned with, I have to disregard what's the past and find out, God, who are you right now where I am? Because you're showing me something that I am not in control of, and I need you. Moses experienced his aha moment And when given the assignment, then many times we're expecting God to tell me what to do with my life. Can show me purpose. And God is just trying to show you just a little bit of you, because that little bit that he shows you, there are multitudes of people that are going to benefit from it. And you're trying to go to Africa. You're thinking it's a big, I got to do, once I get in, I got to do this big thing. And God says, I just want you to just tell people, I love you. But Lord, it's not enough. It's not enough. I said, I just need you to do that. Because that one, I love you, will touch somebody who will touch somebody who will touch somebody. And it'll end up in Africa. I'm not playing, y'all. This stuff is real. Moses experienced the idea that you can't hide from God. And it's not cool to hide from him, because wherever you go, he is. How do I know? Well, he spoke to Moses and he made it very clear that all that you, not just what you're going to need, but who you are, I am. I am. Who should I tell Pharaoh when I come to him and tell him about, what am I supposed to say to the children of Israel? Because they ain't heard from you. Tell them I am. Amen. Second point. Second person. Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Jacob has an experience. I mean, he spent a lifetime deceiving, and his name meant deceiver. He spent a lifetime trying to gain on his own strength. Anybody know anything about that? Trying to gain things in this world, reputation, the best job, whatever. We know the Lord and we love the Lord, but we have this mindset that, you know, God helps those who help themselves. And that ain't even in Scripture. But many of us somewhere along, we wrote it somewhere in there. God helps those who help themselves. But Jacob learned that there's not enough that you can do to get my blessing of your own accord. There's not enough that you can do to get my love. I just love you. There's not enough that you can do to save your tail. You are in such a bad situation. Only I can deliver you. And I want you to get to a place, an aha moment in your life, where you come to that place where you realize my all is not enough. And not be upset about that and act like God, you know, God, you didn't give me everything that I needed. Yeah, he did. He gave us Jesus. Well, I'm gonna do my own thing for right now, and then I'll do what you want me to do. With Jacob, through all of this time of gaining and getting, he was living in fear. And all of our gaining and all of our getting and all of our trying to do it our way and just trying to manipulate situations, even manipulate the word at times without that aha moment, we're really living in fear and not faith. And we live in fear because we know us. We know what we can do, and we know that when we get to that limit of what we can do, come on, y'all. Start of the year, you know what? I'm going to lose 25 pounds. Negative 5 pounds later, we got a problem. We rely on our own strength, knowing that we are not enough. It's the second point that Jacob learned in this whole thing. This is wonderful. God will change you. You can't change you. I can't change me in and of myself. I don't have enough of me to really change me. I don't, because the me that's outside of God, the me that's outside of God wants to do me, and I don't care about you. Now, here's the conundrum. Don't you ask me to spell it. The conundrum is this, and then we're going to move forward, is that God created us to be agents of change, starting with us. But outside of him, we are not going to accomplish what God designed us to do. I have a very fast car. My conundrum, the challenge that I have is that, where's the police officer? Okay, he's not here. That there are times where I want to just step on the gas, and that 180 that it says it can do, I want to see that. And Miss Tracy says no. I know the potential of this thing. It's designed to do it, but there are hindrances. Don't miss my point, y'all. There are hindrances for what the car is designed to do. There are things that will not allow for what it's designed to do, for it to produce what it's designed to do. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Sin and staying right where you are doing your own thing, it hinders what God has designed you to do, and that is to be an agent of change everywhere you go. See, God didn't change his conversation in the beginning when he designed man, and he said, let them have what? Dominion. That aspect of control first comes with understanding I have to change what's going on here. That's why he put him in the garden. He wasn't just sitting back and like, look at this garden that God has put me in. No, he was there to work the garden. And what he didn't understand to do, he was to walk with God. Hello. Walk with God in the cool of the evening, that he might be the agent of change for the things that were supposed to go on in the garden. And when he matured, then he was supposed to extend outside of the garden to the rest of the world. We can't allow for sin to control and dictate and limit our God design. God will change you. In that aha moment when you realize, I can't do this myself. When I say can't do it, it's not in a conversation of lack, but in a conversation of recognizing relationship with God. I can do all things. Come on, y'all. See, we know the word, but it's got to become aha, through Christ. And sometimes that takes time. But through Christ, it's going to get done. And it's going to get done the way God wants it done, because it's not about me. What are you? I'm just an agent of change. Yes. I carry a badge. You want to see my badge? Shut your mouth, devil. I carry a badge. All right, point three. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Aha! Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all don't go there. That's a played out joke. We're not going there. Three Hebrew boys are challenged by the king of the land. There's a decree that goes out that when the horn sounds, everybody is to bow down and worship this idol. And these three brothers, they take a stand. And the old king, Daniel 3, y'all, that's where we'll find it. Daniel chapter 3. O king, all respect due, but you just a man. And when the horn blows, we understand the threat that you've placed against us, that we're going to be thrown into the furnace. We're going to be thrown into the fire. But oh, king, yo, man, that's not happening. We will not bow. We will not bow. Stand up for your faith and get kicked the crap out of you. Anybody ever experienced that? Come on now, it's just me. Stand up. You stood up for what you believe. You stood up and you did the right thing. You did what God told you to do, and they messed you over. And it was in the church. I love his head. Oh, go on. I'm sorry, Mom. She said, that's my head. did what was right. And not only did I lose, but I was made to look bad. And God, look, man, you were made to look bad. They stood up for what was right. They did not bow, and they were thrown into, y'all need to know the story, but for time's sake, they were thrown into the furnace, and it was made twice as hot as it was originally. I don't know how you, seven times? Seven times, how do you do that? How do they gauge that? Ooh, oh, it's hot. Oh, it's seven. Did you burn seven fingers? I don't know. It was hot. It was hot. So much so that the servants throwing them in got consumed. How does that work? They get thrown into the furnace, scripture tells us. And the king looks into this seven times hotter furnace. And he asked a dumb question. Because my point is this. God will be in the midst of your fire. He will be. He asked, hey, Chris, didn't we throw three? Now, mind you, Chris probably didn't touch nobody. And mind you, the people who actually threw them in, they're dead. So in the back of whoever he was asking his mind is like, no, we didn't do nothing. You did that. Sometimes I think like that, sorry. Didn't we throw three individuals in? But yet I see a fourth man, and he looks like the Son of God. See, the aha moment for us is that when we're in the fire, we've got to grasp a hold of the truth that people are not just seeing you. Oh my God, when you're standing, even in the midst of the fire, they're not just going to see you. Some of y'all don't care. I don't care that you don't care. The reality of it is that you won't care unless you realize that what you're experiencing is because God wants to show up in the midst of it so people could see you are not alone. You are not even bothered. Yeah, I did that. You like that, right? You are not even bothered by the fact that this disastrous situation is happening to you. You're not moved by it. You obviously are not doing this by yourself. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? God, the Lord God, is in the midst with you. All right, so let's make a cake. Because I'm going to show you something. The aha that God gives us. One, he will find you. He's actually looking. He will find you. Amen. He will change you. And he will be with you in the midst of the fire. How many of y'all ever made a cake before? Anybody? Raise your hand. Let me see if you made a cake. All right. This will be my first time. In church. And the premise and the purpose of me doing this is because for those of you who know how to make a cake, there are rules that you have to abide by in making the cake. First of all, I have a box here that displays the, yes, man, my favorite cake. But more importantly, the design of what it's should look like. Y'all follow me now. Of what it's supposed to look like when we make the cake. So, I open the box. And this don't look nothing like. This design is not this. So I have to do something. Somebody say, mate, no. First, I have to set this flower free. by any means necessary. It's got to come out of the bag, the box, the hindrance, the limitations. Because in order for me to get to this place, some things have to be let loose. Now, the Bible tells us we didn't really choose the Lord. He chose us. So everything that I'm processing and everything that I'm experiencing in my life to get to those aha moments, it first starts with the fact that if I'm getting free, I can't be all over the place. There's something that I'm going to have to conform to. There's something that I was conformed to that was limiting and it was holding me back from becoming everything that God wants me to be. Amen. This is good stuff here. Some of y'all are like, I'm waiting for him to make this cake. Every bit of me that's supposed to be me is now in conforming to the image of Christ. Every bit of me. Y'all catching me? Now, this is what we do, though. Those of us who say yes to Jesus. Y'all didn't catch that. See, this is sin. This hindered who I was, the freedom that I wanted to walk in and be. And now that I'm in Christ, I do this. I want to add to this because how many of you know, even in Christ in this form, I'm still not complete. So God, the first aha moment is, please don't add to the ingredients that which he said don't belong. I want to keep some. I know God, but I want to keep a little bit of attitude because I don't want to be hurt anymore. I want to keep a little bit of, don't add to this. Can you imagine if we added this to this? This is going to say, tasty. Okay, so we don't, first aha, say this with me. Don't add. Don't, that's it, don't add. All right, I got a measuring cup here. I don't want to use it. Wait a minute. On the design, it gives me, oh, y'all know where we're going with. I have a design, but I also have instruction on what I'm actually supposed to. My God. Set your oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Prepare pan to keep cake from sticking by lightly coating the bottom of pan with non-stick. Okay, y'all understand with me. So we're gonna wing this right now. All you bakers in there, just be quiet. This is an illustration. Mix eggs. I don't know. Did y'all catch that? Right? Because sometimes we do that. Well, how much word should I have? I don't know. You have to have an aha moment for God to show you how much time that he wants to spend with you to deal with whatever circumstance you're dealing with. Can't tell you, okay, pray three prayers and all your sins will be, okay, that's another story. It says three eggs, y'all. Because I'm reading the instructions. It says one cup of water, y'all. And a half a cup of oil. And it says this on the instructions, all you need. Now, what did it say of oil? Half a cup. Whew. That's a half a cup, baby. Oh, put it on the table. Why? So you mean I can't interpret that half the way I want to? I need to put it on a sure foundation? Oh, my God. Well. Half a cup. Because we need the oil. Oh, Lord, we need the oil. Yes, ma'am. And one cup of water. That's the whole lot? You sure? All right. Done. Let's eat. So you mean even though I have the Holy Spirit and I have the water of the word and I have the aspect of life, I have all of these things in me and I'm in Christ, we not ready? Let's go, Ronnie. You do not eat that. So what you're telling me is this? Come on, Kim. Let's do it. So the water and the oil and the eggs have to be mixed. So the experience of the word and my life in Christ and the oil of the Holy Spirit has to be mixed and moved. There's action that has to happen. Because if I just put it in and it just sits, it ain't going to work. Why? Because I'm working towards God's design. And he's working me with his word. And he's breaking up the stuff. And mashing up me. Because remember, I put me in here, but me wasn't enough. He gave me life, the eggs. He gave me the oil, the Holy Spirit. He gave me water, which is the word. And now he's saying, mix it all up. Lord, it hurts when you're doing that. Ow. Oh. Aha. Uh-huh. Why am I saying that? Because now you got to get the lumps out. You got to get, and those lumps were originally from me. Wasn't from the water. It wasn't from the oil. Wasn't from the lumps was from me. Beat them out. But you know what? As we're stirring this now and mixing this all up and this is getting all beat up and whatnot. Did you smell it? Mm-hmm. It smells good, don't it? It smells good. We can eat right now. Now, so in other words, the aroma is starting to take form, but we still not there yet. You could do something with this, but you're not still in the design of what God wants. You're getting there, and your fragrance has changed. You're now pleasant to look at. There's not much to you, because God is just whooping you. You don't feel like much, but you smell good now. And you look different than when you started out. Oh, wait a minute, though. Things are happening, and I want to. No, but I got to. She's really getting on my nerves. Lord, let me go do my thing first, and then you can work on me. No, you got to understand that when you add sin, a little bit of God comes off of this and out of this, and you make a mess because this can't stay here. Hallelujah. All right. So God is mixing us up. We're smelling good, but we're not finished. And now we're conforming into the image of Christ. And he says, but we're going to go deeper. Because you're in the outer court. Now we're going to go in the inner court. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that your aha moments become more and more specific. I don't really do that when I bank, but it's a cool sound. Y'all be quiet. Don't miss the point, y'all. Don't miss the point. So the Lord begins to pour us out into a more refined image of him. He's pouring us out. That's not a fun experience. It's not a fun experience to be made to fit into what seems to be another confining area. Sometimes in the church, we teach it in this way. There's a lot of do's and don'ts. You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do this. All the while, God is saying, it's not that you can or can't. It's what you will do. God, I'm willing. I'm willing to go through the process. I'm willing to be poured out. The scripture says Jesus was a drink offering. I'm willing to become what you want me to become. Wherever you want to place me, however you want to do it, I'm willing. Aha. Now, we're done. We're not done? What happens next? Now, we had heated the oven earlier. Let me just dare say this, that I taught this some time ago. The Word of God in God himself, he's like an oven. God is like an oven. He has set the temperature on where you're supposed to bake. But you will never bake unless you're in his presence. But you got to be ready to get in his presence. Can you imagine what we did earlier without mixing things up and just put that in the oven? What would have happened? We know for sure we wouldn't have got this. We would have got a mess. Because sin and the elements of God's word, if it's not at work in your life, it will be destructive to you. Are y'all with me? So we place the pans in the oven. Why? Because we are expecting change. What are we expecting? What God originally showed us. Amen? Okay, moving quickly. Ta-da! We're in the oven. We have baked at 350 degrees. We went from what God was pouring out into that God did good, right? Well, I can't take credit for this. It's so even, it's so balanced. And we could put a smiley face there. Wait a minute, this still is not. It's done. It's baked. It's had the experience. It's had the presence, but it's not complete. What's going to make this complete? Y'all going to remember there was two parts to this. There's us, and then there's Jesus. Y'all didn't know I could do that. Anyway, y'all get to. It's not finished yet. Why not? Frosting, or more importantly, the dressing. Right? The thing that's going to make it appealing to the people that are looking to partake of the cake. When you bake a cake, and those many of you who bake the cake, y'all know that when you bake a cake, you could eat it all yourself. But if we're honest with ourselves, the reason why we bake cakes is because we're going to have guests. Oh my God, y'all not. We're baking the cake so that our guests will be pleased with the entirety of our meal. We end our meal with what? Dessert. We want them to leave feeling good, full, satisfied with their experience. Amen? And so, this is not finished. And so, of course, we creamy chocolate frosting. Creamy chocolate frosting. That sounds good, but it doesn't mean anything if it stays in the can, right? So the aspect of your gifts and your talents, that's the frosting, guys. Yeah. The thing that God says you can do in his kingdom. Why? Because there's something in regards to how he is now looking to present you that's going to draw people in. The guests that come into his house, God says, feed them. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. The kids. And y'all know if you present kids with vegetables, I don't want to eat that. But if you present them with cake, oh, wait a minute, I'm having a moment. I love her. I love you. I don't love you like I love her. I love her more, but ooh. Anyway, enough of that. Just a moment, y'all. Pray for me. Does anybody want some?
Yes.
Wow, look at that. Look at that. And so the process and the ahas that God is doing in your life is so that when you are asked in the spirit, does anybody want some? There are people in the world that go, I do. What? The peace that you have, I do. The wisdom that you have, I want some. The relationship, I see your relationship. You have such a, I want some. The thought of how are you able to maintain with so little money? How do you do that? I want some. Because it looks good. And at the end of the day, we all want what's good. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Amen. God bless you guys. I hope that y'all got this dynamic of, aha, God is processing you, not just for you, but that people would partake of what's really good. And y'all know at the end of the day, God is good. I said, God is good. And if he's in you and if he's in me, let's go through the process and let's recognize, aha, let's recognize, let's let God do what he does. If he's found you, then let him change you. And if he's changing you, go through the fire because you're not by yourself. He's with you. And you're not going through the fire just for the sake of going through the fire. You're going through what you're going through. God is baking you and he's doing the things that he's doing so that when you come out, people will say, I want some. I want some. I want a godly woman. I want a godly man. I want something different than what the world is offering me, because what they're offering me, where's my plastic at? There's nothing to that. It's empty. It's empty. There's nothing to that. But there's a lot to this. I'm saying, there's a lot that came with this. A lot taken out, a lot put in. But oh, when God mixed it up, when he mixed it up and I was willing to go through the process. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Y'all got to help me right now because this is really good right now. God is trying to get all of us to a place where it's not just about you. It's not just about me. But God saying, I have guests that are coming in. And I want you to feed them. I want you to feed them. But I want them to be able to see, I'm good.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.